How are you getting on?
I'm about to tell you how I'm getting on. Get ready, Connor. Because it is time to start the show. Are you ready? Raise your hand if you're ready.
Raise hand.
Thank you for raising your hand. Listeners, all raise your hands as well. Do what Connor says. Do what I say. My name is Luke. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you will be aware that Peter the Heater was finally removed from the show. Now, this is his own fault. He's a bad man. He's understandable, but he's gone now. He's gone into a better place. He will be recording an album soon to be released. Check it out. Keep your eyes out for it. But first, here I am. Okay. So, yes, welcome to the show. I have taken over. I am now in control. I'm in the driver's seat.
I'm
in the left-hand side of the car.
Luke, so it's kind of like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, it's great you're in control of the musical direction, I suppose. But it's very much my seat. It's very much my seat, my show. And, yeah, you know, I think that was kind of maybe one of the issues we ran in with Peter. Peter felt like it was kind of his show and he wouldn't do the behind the scenes stuff. He didn't do a lot of the admin. I kind of did everything, and then Peter would come here, he'd rock up out of his box and just think that he was running things. So I don't want you to kind of, you know, fall into the same, you know,
traps. No, that will never happen because I do not live in a box.
No.
I live in a very, very large sort of flight case. It's more of a flight case. It's much more luxurious than a box.
Yes, it's cushioned. Why won't you turn on your camera, by the way? This is the thing. I'd like to see your face. I'd like to put a face to the name.
I'm a little bit self-conscious today. I had one of those spots. Is that how you say the spot?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yes, and it is right in the middle of my forehead. So I keep the camera off. I don't want to chase you away. I don't want to chase the listeners away. Okay. They might be able to see it somehow.
So whereabouts in France are you from?
I'm not from France.
Where are you from?
I'm from Donegal.
In Donegal?
Where?
In Ireland.
Why would you assume that I'm from France? Because my name is Luke, I know. Well, listen. Lots of people can be called Luke, you know?
No, you know, it's not. It's more the fact that you said je m'appelle Luke.
Where?
And your accent sounded a bit French. So, yeah, but maybe, is that like Port Salon kind of direction, Donegal? Is that where...
To be honest, sort of I don't take too much time to think about this, the things like accents. To me, it's not important. It's like, oh, what do you like to drink in the morning? A glass of red wine, two or three bottles of red wine. That's not important to me.
Well, that's so good because... Peter, for example, didn't listen to the artists, and that was like for me, that was really difficult. So, have you listened to today's artists?
Yes, I have. Of course, the artist of the day, whose name, Connor. Please, I will give you some music to pronounce the name of the artist. You ready?
See, this is very Peter-like. Because I'm starting to think you don't know who the band is.
No. Listen, please, to me, I like to tease the audience. I like to show a little bit of nipple before I show the whole breast, you know? I like to give you a taste of the aperitif before I introduce the rest of the drink or what, you know, whatever an aperitif is, you know? I don't want to just come right out there and say it like pleb.
It's new pagans.
Exactement.
New pagans.
A nouveau pagan.
Really like interesting band from the north. I think they're I don't know if they're from North Antrim, but that's where they're recording this from today. So yeah, really looking forward to meeting them. Some of them, like, they were kind of parts of, they were in different bands like over the years, and they've kind of come together and they've just released an album. So
can you tell me, Connor, please, how many pieces in this band?
This is a five piece.
Cinq pieces.
This is the last episode. You've actually come in a strange time. This is the last episode of this season.
I know. It's my first and last day at the same time. I feel very sad and happy.
Yeah. It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. I think that's what you're looking for.
Like a strawberry on a summer's evening being eaten off the stomach of a beautiful woman.
That's not sour. It's just all sweet, isn't it?
It's sweet, but also a little bit bitter because who is this woman? Is she sad? What makes her tick? What is behind the eyes, these beautiful eyes? But underneath, there is a lost soul looking for probably a friend, a friend who can eat the strawberry and provide advice and maybe some psychotherapy and maybe a long walk on the beach together and then marriage and possibly
a
life.
Are you involved with anyone at the minute?
No, I'm on the Tinder.
On Tinder. Are you, and how's it going?
These things are difficult. When people learn that you are from Donegal, they have preconceptions about you. Oh, you're so good with women. You drink wine all day long. You know, things like these.
Yeah. It's people are so, the people stereotype all the time and they're just so prejudiced against, like I'm sure they would say about like Donegal people with their berets and mustaches.
The baguette.
It's kind of sickening. Can I ask you, I just want to get a couple other questions. Can you actually play music? Because we tend to sometimes play a song for the guests. Peter would have played songs for the guests.
You know, probably best to avoid that this time because...
I don't understand what you bring. I requested that the new person would have all the skills that Peter possessed in terms of the musical ability, would be a bit more...
Connor, did you hear this? Did you hear...
Yeah, you're playing... It's one note. Peter could play two chords.
But it's got this on the bottom.
You know, Peter and I... It wasn't just the fact that Peter played music all the time and we had laughs. The thing I really liked about him was our shared music tastes. He hated UB40.
Really?
Peter hated that song.
That's so strange because in our sessions for the therapy, he would always be singing that song. He'd also all the time, rat in my kitchen, what am I gonna do? There's a rat in my kitchen. He's always going on about this song and UB40. He says the best band. He says reggae is the greatest.
Yeah, no, that's not what he told me. That's not what he told me and told the listeners. And then what else did he say? He said that his best friend was one of the Scooter Boys, and him and the Scooter Boys would just go around collecting pallets, and they were like really good friends, and he loved everything about the show, and don't get me wrong, Peter had his issues, like his body odor was one of them, and
okay, that's enough, Connor. I'm turning on this bloody camera. Look, okay, Connor, listen. You cannot be telling people I've got body odor and all this bloody rubbish, okay?
Well, look, you slipped through the net.
No, listen, it's not my fault that your security is all up the bloody lift, okay?
So you managed to get into this session today. You managed to get in. So what did you have? Did you lie in your application form as Luke?
All I had to do was walk right through the door with confidence on my face. It didn't even matter because they didn't even look. They didn't care at all. They just said, "Come on through, Mr. Luke."
I knew
from Donegal.
You
knew it was me. Going on about saying my bloody least favorite song was "Rat in My Kitchen." It's my most favorite song. Everyone knows that.
It was reverse psychology because I actually studied psychology, not like Luke.
Yeah, but Luke went to the Sorbonne. Okay,
Donegal.
Yeah, where did you go, Leeds? Of course you did. Right, whatever. Well, I'm here now. What do you want? Yeah. Do you want me to be here? Do you want to do it all on your own?
Well, you may as well stick around because it's the last episode of the season. We're probably going to get cancelled after this. We've had a good run.
Liquid Core.
Hi, so we're here with new Pagans, Claire and Cahir. How you getting on?
Doing well, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Yeah, good to have you both. Actually, just speaking to Claire before you came on, Cahir, I recognize Claire from Girls Names. You played with Girls Names a while back, and Cahir, you obviously played with Fighting With Wire as well. How did New Pagans form after all that?
Well, I think New Pagans started when myself and Lindsay were kind of playing around with it. Well, we'd always talked about it for years, about being in a band together, or at least writing songs together, you know. And then I had sort of quit the music industry for a while and kind of went behind the scenes after Fighting With Wire. And then started to work on a project called Goons with the guys that used to be in LaFaro. And then that didn't really work out. So Lindsay and I were like, well, why don't we start writing some songs? We didn't even know if it was going to be a band, to be honest. And we just thought, we'll just try and write some songs and see what happens. And then we wrote two songs and we said, oh, you know, maybe let's send them to some friends and see if we can actually lure some people in, like a trap. And we sent Claire and Connor, the drummer, Connor McCauley, the first couple of songs. I think the first song was Ode to None, and we sort of sent that, we demoed it up just in our kitchen and sent it. And they were like, yes, we would love to start a band. And it just kind of kicked off from there, really. Alan joined about a year later, but Alan was playing, he played in Goons with me and the guys from LaFaro. So Alan was kind of helping out, and then it was just made sense that he would just join the band, you know what I mean? Because there's a million guitar bits in it. Yeah, yeah. We're just like, let's just ask Alan. That's kind of how it started. We just started rehearsing, and then it was like, this works. This is good, you know? Everybody felt good about it.
Yeah. And Claire, what was it? Did it feel like a different dynamic from Girls' Names?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it couldn't be more different a dynamic than Girls' Names, but in a good way. Yeah, it's just music that I had always wanted to play. And, you know, I think I was just pretty much over the whole post-punk thing. Yeah, this is the type of music I've always listened to and always wanted to like sink my teeth into, so I was up for it.
Yeah, I caught you live once. I kind of stumbled in on it. It was at the Atlantic Sessions. It's a couple of years ago. These were it was class because Chris McCaw, is it your sound guy that night?
Chris McCaughey.
Chris McCaughey. Yeah. And he had recommended come down. It was great. What for you, Cahir, when you were, I suppose, like you've been, you know, you've had experience in previous bands. What do you feel is different about this in terms of the writing process and the music itself? Do you think there are similarities between the previous bands?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be that, you know what I mean? Stylistically, you always try and change where you're coming from when you enter into a new project. I've been in a few bands from Jet Plane Landing, the Fighting With Wire, and, you know, a play with Frank Turner about as well. And so with each project, you kind of try and I do a lot of writing, co-writing and stuff. So you always try and bring something new to it. But, I mean, fundamentally, you're always going to have that your sound, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and same with Claire. I think Claire, straight away when we started the band, Claire just came straight in with the idea for I Could Die, you know what I mean? And so immediately we just started writing. It just locked in, do you know what I mean? And with all our bands, with Fighting With Wire, I wrote everything myself, which was really frustrating. So I enjoy collaboration, you know what I mean? You kind of find some really good stuff. And so, and with Jet Plane, there was a lot of collaboration. But with this band, everyone brings an element, you know what I mean? It's like every single person brings something, and it's great. Me, Connor just start playing a drum beat, and we just, you know, stick stuff around that. I'm like, oh, right. You know, we can extrapolate good ideas from loads of different things. And it's Lindsay's first band, so she's like this sort of breath of fresh air.
Oh, wow.
You know, sort of untainted by the horrible swamp that is the music industry. You know what I mean? And she's...
She's tainted by it now, but...
She's jaded already. Yeah. It's over already. You know what I mean? So
you two didn't bring her down? No.
Not at all. I'm at the other end now. I'm like, you know, meditating and stuff like that. But But yeah, so that's this great breath of fresh air in the band, you know. It's just this, you know, oh, do we get to do a festival? Oh, do we get, you know, and I'm just like, festivals are hell, you know what I mean? You know, it would be so cool if we get to play South by Southwest. I'd rather live in a toilet, you know what I mean? It's like, I've been to South by 10 times. I'm just like, I don't ever want to see it again. You know what I mean? It's like, so there's this lovely sort of sense of optimism with Lindsay that we all have to kind of, you know, it's endearing. You're just like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't so bad the first time around. And you get there and you're like, yes, it's terrible. So that adds this nice sort of element to the band as well, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because in any other aspect of my life, I don't think I'm cynical. But when it comes to music, I am just so cynical. Like nothing, you know, it's almost like a chore. It's a chore to go to a festival and play it, you know?
Totally, yeah, it's just...
Your friends don't get it as well. They're like, oh, it must be amazing to be able to. You're like, no, it's awful.
All my girlfriend wants to do is camp, and I've just been scarred from camping now. Like, she just loves camp, but she's like, can we go away this weekend? No, that's work.
I'm so spoiled by it as well, because I work with Frank Turner, and it's just sleeper buses and hotels. No, it's really good. It's the high end of Turin, and I still hate going there. I'm just like, oh, I hate festivals. Look at them. How can these people do this themselves? It's a giant toilet, you know. And yet, you know, there's people out there who would give anything for it. When you talk to people, they're like, oh, it must be so mind-blowing. You know, what Claire said, you just have your friends. I'm like, if you could just come with us for 1 week, you would see.
We would worry you down.
No, but totally. And it's like, now that everything's been shut for the last year and a bit, it's like we can't wait to get back into the big toilet.
Because it's, I guess it's, you know, you've been through different bands. What were your expectations with this? You want to go beyond where you were before, or are you doing it just to enjoy it? Like, when you get to like this point, when you've had a couple, you know, you've been in a couple of bands and you've gained experiences, what's important to you?
Well, I think for me, I mean, I was really jaded.
Because you mentioned you were behind the industry. Like, what sort of things were you doing, like, behind?
Yeah, so I became a guitar technician, essentially, and started working, you know, on stage crew after I had been through the Fight With Wire thing, you know what I mean? So, like, signed the Atlantic on MTV, did all the festivals, you know, massive push for a band. And then I was just so horribly jaded by the industry, the lies and the thieves and the, you know, it's a horrible place. And you know, there's so many, there's more horror stories in this industry than there are sort of success stories, you know, but the success stories are the ones that sort of stick out. Mm-hmm. And everyone covers the success stories, you know, but there's some horror stories out there, right? You know, that have happened to amazing artists as well. And great bands that have never been heard and on, and you could go on, you know. So with this band, I don't think I had any, I had no real preconceptions about it, and I had no expectations to the point of just like, let's record some songs, let's see if we can play a gig, mm-hmm. let's see what happens. It was never like, let's write, we're gonna take over the world. You know, it wasn't the Oasis attitude, you know.
Yeah.
We're the best band in the world. It was never that. We didn't even know it was going to work to begin with. And I think it was kind of the same as it was kind of like that with Fighting With Wire right at the very start. And we just started the band as some fun whilst I was playing in Jet Plane Landing. And Craig and I started that band in order to just keep playing together. And then it was fun. And it just, all these things opened up for us, just naturally, very organic. It just happened. And so the same, sort of same path for New Pagans. We've just been enjoying it, and then, you know, things have just opened up. And I've always been a sort of believer that if you write good songs and you work hard, good things will come your way, kind of thing, you know. And then every now and then you'll get this little opportunity, this little nugget of luck, and if you grab it and you're, you know, you've done all the hard work, it's, you know, you're ready to seize the moment, you know what I mean? So who knows what will happen, but we have no expectations other than we're just so happy we got to put out an album and do some shows, you know what I mean? It's like, well, for me, and I, Claire, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would just really love to have the chance to tour again. I'm not as jaded as Cahir, but I mean, maybe 50% as jaded, but
I'll take it.
You know, the best part of playing music is being able to go other places and play it in front of people from other cities and travel around Europe. And actually, coming out of lockdown now, I'm like super, super, like I just really want to get back on the road again. I can't wait.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's like abundantly clear to me before lockdown. I don't know if you had asked me what is my favorite part of doing music and why do you do it? I don't think I would have really understood the significance of performing live. I kind of thought it was in writing, but I think I need both of them. I think I need to write. I think I need to perform to like inspire me to write, because I think when I play, then I actually will leave a gig and be like, I want to write a song that makes people, there's a part in that set that maybe I could have got the audience to feel something different. And I think it's just like this, I don't know, it's just, they relate so much to each other. I kind of need both. So yeah.
Yeah, it's the whole package, really. I mean, I'm even starting to miss, you know, hours in a van, staring out a window, mind-numbing
going
motorways.
Going past Carlisle up to Glasgow, that crack. The Greggs. And Cara, I don't want to like labor too much on the point, but when you were saying you were doing the guitar tech stuff, did that kind of inspire you, or did that make you feel like you wanted to go out, or was it even, because I know sometimes if I'm not in the best place, like mentally and musically, and if I see, I don't even want to be near music to even see it, because it makes me kind of hard to watch people enjoy it so much, you know.
Every night. I mean, so when I started guitar taking for Frank, it was hard to begin with. Well, at the start, I was actually, I don't miss the industry at all. This is great. I'm doing something else. I'm not the front man of a band anymore. All the weight had lifted off my shoulders. You know, the band didn't exist. And everything was good, and then Frank put his back out really badly back in 2013 when I started working with him, and he asked me if I would step on and play guitar for him for I think it was like 6 or 7 months, the full US tour and UK. I did the main stage at Reading and all. I was like, oh, no pressure, what are we doing, first gig, Reading, main stage. Main stage, third from the top of the bill. I'm like, oh, great. How many songs I've learned? 30. Great. No problem. Lethal. Then the weight just landed back my shoulders. I was just like, oh, thanks, lads.
So you weren't even trying to find it. Like, it did just find you, like that opportunity.
Totally. I mean, and then, so I stepped on for him for a while, and that was fine. And then I went back to guitar tech again, and everything was good. And then, you know, that wee taste of touring again, I was like, oh, you know, it sort of ate at me for a few years, and I decided to work on that Goons project, which I mentioned, and then start New Pagans, you know, that led me here. I was just like, right, I really miss it. And then, you know, various members of Frank's band would step out and I would step in, you know. So I played bass in the band, I'm currently playing lead guitar in the band. I did the Download Festival pilot last week with him. He headlined the second stage at that last Sunday, and that was, or 2 weeks ago there. That was amazing. That was like, wow, 10,000 people just go. And it had been a while since, you know, any of us had experienced a live show, and it was like, wow, I can't wait. So I'm so looking forward to playing Stendhal this weekend. I can't wait. I'm just like, yeah, I just had a taste of it. I'm back on the heroin. You know. So yes, I mean, it just ate away at me slowly. Yeah. And now I'm back on the wagon. It's just, that's the way it is, you know. So but yeah, I don't think that ever leaves you. And yeah. I've spoke to a lot of musicians over the years. I knew from bands back in the day, and you know, they're doing different things now, but they're all the same. Everyone's like, oh, I'd love to go on tour, I would love to be playing, I would love to, you know. And I'm like, you know, sometimes I think, what am I doing, why am I still doing this? And you're just, it's, I don't know, the power of Christ compels you. I don't know, being possessed or something.
Religion's never made so much sense to me. Never.
Exactly. Yeah, so
yeah, no, I get it. And let's chat a bit more about the album. Where was it recorded, and when was it recorded?
Oh, well, it was kind of recorded all over the place. We've a few different places. We had a rehearsal space in East Belfast in a mill over there. It was a big stone room, and we did a lot of it in there, most of it in there. I think we did a few drum takes in a place called Analog Catalog. We went down to actually record an EP, but we ended up just using bits and pieces from that recording that made it on the album. Some vocal takes and some drum takes.
is that the place like near Newry?
Yeah.
It's like very tape, like the
It's all the tape. It's all analog, you know. Yeah. And so we wanted that, you know. A lot of my sort of favorite producers work that way anyway. So I was like, you know, I wouldn't mind going down there and checking it out. And we went down, checked it out, and I was like, yeah, I love it. And then things didn't work out, but we managed to salvage some of the stuff from those sessions, and they made it onto the album, you know. So we did there. We recorded and. Our kitchen in Belfast. Lindsay and I live in an apartment in Belfast, and we did a lot of the vocal takes on there. Did all our guitars over in our rehearsal room. You know, we just any bits and pieces. I think I was like the Claire, can you do a bass line? Send it over to me. You know, you know, and then we just worked like that. It was really sort of put together. And I think the only track that's sort of played from start to finish on that record that. Is Christian Boys. I think it was the only song that the band actually played live. Well, at least the bass and the drums are all like one take.
Okay.
Everyone playing together, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, it was a long project because we'd released an EP just before lockdown, and then lockdown happened. We were like, the pandemic hit, and we were just like, well, that's that out the window. And then we were like, well, what do we do? And we had all of those songs, I suppose, sort of round up the first 4 years of the band, and mm-hmm. and so we'd already moved on and written lots of new stuff, and so we just thought, well, if we just put all those songs in an album, then we can now move on and finish album two through the pandemic, which we've done. You know what I mean? So,
okay. And it was so there was no hesitation to put out the album. Like when you put it out,
it was weird because initially we were like, I wanted to put it out back like ages ago, and then it was like, let's just do an EP. It's just easier, and we can go out and tour that, and we can start building it, and then do an album. And we were going to combine the five that we didn't put on the EP and five new songs. That would have been the album, but we just thought, you know what? No one heard the EP. No one heard it. So it was kind of like it's fresh. And we, you know, we all sat down and we talked about it. We made a sort of informed decision to make it a record as one whole thing. And I'm really glad we did it that way, actually, because, you know, we've moved on musically and sonically. And I think that with the new set of songs, it's like a real progression for the band. And so it would have been weird forcing those two words together, you know, those two sort of time periods of the band's evolution, I suppose.
Yeah. That's I think that's so it's the difference of a year and a half, you know, especially when you're in a band, playing in a band and like how everybody progresses, the music just can just get so far apart. It's like you know, someone gets a new pedal and it's
Al's pedal board looks like the Starship Enterprise at this point. I'm like, dude, what?
It's bigger than him and he's quite tall.
It's bigger than him. I'm like, where are we putting that? How's that going in the van? Yeah. It has its own van.
And so I guess when you mentioned earlier, you are going on tour. Thankfully, Claire's buzzing to get back out.
Claire was going to leave the band. She's like, right, that's it.
and that'll be the first time he's played the album in full. When you do go out, where are you heading to? And what are the venues? How can people get tickets?
Claire?
Claire, it's your time to shine here.
Claire. Let me look it up. Give me 2 seconds.
Let me look it up.
Phil for me here.
All right. So
I should tell me about some of the shirt influences, Cahir. What about that? While Claire looks it up,
some of the
shirt influences we always ask.
All influences in the band. Yeah. Sonic Youth, Nirvana. It's very 90s orientated, especially with the first record. So like, you know, from Fugazi, Nirvana, Dinosaur Jr., Sonic Youth, PJ Harvey, all her early stuff, you know, right up to Death Cab for Cutie, and, you know, so all that stuff, you know what I mean? All the good stuff. All the good 90s stuff.
You've ticked a few of my boxes there. That's good.
You know what I mean? So it was very much that. And I think it was just like the culmination that we all came together, and there was like a handful of groups that we all sort of loved. And then, you know, all the outside influences then come on as well. Yeah. On top of that, you know, so.
You mentioned Death Cab for Cutie. Sorry to interrupt you. Like, that's interesting to me. Like, I definitely hear the other bands. Death Cab, maybe not as. What sort of timeline in Death Cab would you like? Would really been
photo album.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, true. Earlier
photo album, earlier Death Cab. You know, that's. I mean, if you listen to something like Charlie is the Face of a Saint, it's just got death. The whole outro is Death Cab for Cutie written all over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah, okay.
You know, when Claire and I were sitting writing it, we were just like, this butt has to be like Fugazi, and this one has to be like Death Cab for Cutie. I don't know why those two words collide. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really sound like Fugazi at all anywhere, but I think it was just we nicked the time signature from one of Fugazi's songs. It's 100 BPM or so. And then we just kind of started writing to that, but it ended up more like the Pixies and Death Cab for Cutie or something, you know what I mean? But yeah, there's wee bits of that sort of scattered throughout the record. There's a little nods towards our favorite bands, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And
I think, I think it's good that you wear your sort of, you know, influences on your sleeve and kind of say to people, you know, this is what we are, so that you're not confused. There's so many bands these days that are called rock bands, you know, that aren't at all rock bands, or that are, you know, rock and roll, and then it's like it's hip hop or something. And I'm just like, this, what? Who? Why are you crossing all the lines here? Don't cross the streams. No, watch Ghostbusters. Don't cross the streams.
He's not a fan of fusion.
Not a fan of fusion, no.
New metal was not big for you.
No. No, jazz fusion, that's a different story. I jest.
So in October, we're touring from the 11th to the 19th, and we've got Oporto in Leeds, Crawford Arms, Milton Keynes, Green Door Store, Brighton. Class, I've been there a few times.
Yeah.
Blackheart, Camden. Dark Horse, Birmingham. Wild Pass Festival in Norwich. The Star and Garter in Manchester, and Broadcast in Glasgow. A classic for the end of the.
And we have a new one in Southampton, don't we?
Southampton as well.
Southampton Heartbreakers, isn't it? On the whatever the date. So it's between the 11th and the 20th. First, is that right?
Yeah. The 19th. We come back 19th. On the 20th, which is my birthday.
Perfect.
Last night in Glasgow, Claire is going to be carried out by the cops.
Claire's last show. Final show.
She was never seen again.
Never seen again. Disappeared into the Glaswegian night.
And are you doing Belfast show? Okay.
We have Belfast. Well, we're doing sort of two Belfast shows in there. So we're playing, we're supporting Tim
Burgess
in Belfast and in Dublin. And that's on the, I believe it's the 30th and of September and the 1st of October.
Yep.
And then we've got our own shows, which you can buy tickets for. If you go to newpagans.com, you can find all our ticket links and all our shows up there. But we're playing Dublin and Belfast in December, and they're our own headline shows, which we're really looking forward to, because maybe we'll run a new song or two out in those.
Class.
Just to try them out, just to see. Brilliant. Just to get booed off.
Off, yeah. No, I'd be there.
Play the classics.
I'll get people next to shout fusion at you.
And, fusion.
Needs more rap.
Needs more rap.
Thanks, William, for doing this. We at the end of this show, we tend to have a musical extract. We don't have a budget to play the songs and the influences that you mention, you know, but we have our resident musical director, Peter the Hater Clark, usually can play something.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm Peter. Good to meet you.
What's the crack, Peter?
Not much. I heard you guys like Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah.
I'm going to play you a little song here. I want to go where soul meets body, where everyone can wrap their arms around me, and don't be afraid to join in water cool and cleansing. Feel what it's like to be da 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 da. Exactly.
Amazing.
Available for support?
Of course, anytime.
Peter, come with us.
That's the only song I can play, unfortunately, but you know. Anything you need, I'll be there.
No, if you could just play that for like 30 minutes solid before we go on.
Perfect.
Just come with us under the giant toilet, please. Come with us.
That's fitting because it's our last episode of the season. So Peter was looking a job after this, so he'll head off. He'll head on to our new pagans. It's sorted.
We got you.
It's a done deal.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much.
No problem. And good luck with the tours. Hopefully we'll be able to catch one.
Yes.
For deaths.
Cheers.
Yeah. What are you looking in terms of employment? What do you think you'll move into now?
Probably lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah, or dentist. Yeah. One of those proper professions, you know, where they appreciate me for, you know, my skills and talent.
Well, what about your music project, Connor White? You know, do you think you'll stick with that?
I'm not going to leave them high and dry, you know. They depend on me, the boys in the band. They really need me to make sure that the low end is taken care of. And, of course, I'm responsible for all the staffing duties, so, and also the tea and coffees, so... Yeah, but I'll probably keep that on as a nice little side. What do they call it?
Hustle.
Yeah, side piece. And don't worry, I won't fire you because there's been some letters coming in saying, you know, that singer's all right, stuff like that. So
yeah,
we'll let you away with it.
No, I'm looking for. I'll see you then. We'll obviously see each other. It's December 18th.
Are we going ahead with the 17th date as well, or we're just doing the
18th? Dublin, yeah, we're going to do the Dublin date too.
Oh, great! So it'll be a little fun time for us all.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm really looking forward. I'm just so thankful that you started this project, Connor White, and have allowed me to be part of it.
No, you're welcome. I've arranged for a bus to take you guys down. I'm of course going to be just arriving a little bit later in the copter, as I like to call it, but. You guys will be nice and comfy on that bus. It's
is it? It's not a private bus. It's the X1, is it?
It's yeah, yes, exactly. How
do
you know?
From Banbridge.
Yes, yeah. It'll pick you up there by the coffee shop. That little coffee shop where all the cyclists park their bikes, and they hang around and think that they're cool. Get on that bus, and I'll have like a little packet of crisps or something for you.
Treat.
So you can take that in your bag.
Treat. No, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. So I don't know what I'm going to move into. I think I don't know. I might have a career in broadcasting. I doubt it.
Yeah, I kind of imagine you as more of like let me think. What's the most insulting job I can think of that doesn't insult people that actually have that job? Can't think of anything.
Yeah, that's really hard, isn't it?
A podcast host or something. Really low end like that.
Anyway, it's been nice. It's been good. We've had our good times.
And we've had our bad times.
What about it? Maybe we take this moment for a bit of a montage.
Yeah.
Do you have any montage songs? Do you have Heartbeats by Jose Gonzalez or Heat of the Moment?
Oh, Heartbeats. Listen. Is that how it goes? How does it go again?
One night to be confused.
Oh, yeah. One night to be confused. One night to speed up truth. We had a promise made. Four hands and then away. both under influence. We had divine sense to know what to say. Mind is a razor blade to call from hands of above. To lean on wouldn't be good enough for me, no.
Okay, hold on there.
To call from hands of above, to lean on wouldn't be good enough for me, no. To call from hands of above, to lean on wouldn't be good enough for Peter the Heater. Everybody sing along. Remember your favourite part of the show. Remember that time when Peter went to Spain, or remember that bit when he was talking about the Turkish barbers? Wasn't that so funny and hilarious? Remember the time Connor got a haircut? What a shit haircut that was.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna cry.
It's so sad that we're on episode 10. I'm glad you got to meet my good friend, Luke. He loves you just as much as you love him. Make sure you take him to the nearest train station.
To call from hands of above, to lean on, wouldn't be good enough for me, no. This is really psychedelic. Connor. I can't believe we're coming to the end of such a beautiful season.
I feel like it should have ended like two songs ago. Two versions of Heartbeats ago. It should have ended.
This is never gonna end. This is gonna go on forever.
The hearts and minds.
Pass me the molly.
Of our 11 listeners.
Pass me the cocaine. Pass me the speed and
whiskey.
MDMA and pass me the bloody whiskey. Pass me the bottle of dead rabbit. I'm gonna drink it all. I'm gonna drink it until it's empty. I'm gonna love every drop. I'm gonna give it to a friend. I'm gonna sell it online. I'm gonna hand it to my girlfriend, cause she knows I love that good time. I'm gonna drink it in my sleep. Gonna drink it when I awake.
Stop! End it. Kill it.
Why does every episode end with you crying about stopping?